think Ginger is joining us now, and John and Tracy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ginger.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Hi, John.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. So.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. So what's on your mind this morning?
Did you get the outline that we sent on Friday?
God. No.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm not getting things. Why don't you, was it an email?
Yes.
Sent to Gmail or was it sent to Supernova?
Supernova.
Okay.
And it came from me, Tracy, just if you were looking that way.
Okay.
I can send it again if you want.
Yeah. If you don't mind, that would probably be faster.
Okay.
It's so weird. It was sent Friday.
Right? Make sure I said it's RDKNAPP, right? At Supernova?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. It's coming your
it's Supernova,
way.
At supernovaconsulting.com.
Yeah. I just sent it, so you should see it.
Okay. You know, you get so many emails, and I go through it, but I just don't see it.
Sometimes you get so many of them, sometimes you overmiss it. Is that the best email address to use, or you mentioned Gmail?
Yeah, I have a Gmail account. It's supposed to merge. They merge. RDNAP. Yeah, why don't you send it to rdnap@gmail.com and see if,
okay.
See if that gets through. Sometimes they'll get stuck in, but they shouldn't get stuck in junk. You know, that's the problem.
No. Okay. Did
you
get it?
How many emails you get? I mean, don't you wonder how many emails you miss then? You know, because
yes.
What if people are prospecting me, sending me business, and I'm missing it? Anyway,
yeah.
No, I don't have it yet, but it's working right now.
So we thought we'd have an agenda and sort of update you on where we are, and we thought it would serve as an outline for our call today.
All right. Well, why don't we get started while I wait on this?
Yeah.
And
So the first item that we had is that we wanted to update you on where we stood for the net new money and the net new fees for the year. Year to date, we're at $12,870,000 in new money. And of that new money, $5 million of it is from new clients.
Okay.
And then net new fees were at $3,579,000. And I think our goal on that, we're really more focused on the goal of the new money. I think we have it, once again, at the $20 million with a stretch goal of $25
million.
Which is pretty close to what we've, and Kristen, you know, help me with this, that's pretty close to what we've done the last 2 years.
Correct. Last year was $22.7
million. Okay.
I think the year before that might have been a little bit
more,
and that's why we did the 20 to 25 million.
Yeah.
Again, that's what we did last year and again this year.
Okay.
There are items working in regards to the net new money that hopefully will be closed out prior to our call next in the month of July as well. And then the we decided to title this spreadsheet that you asked us to do, because if you gave us a title, we didn't hear it. So we titled it the Ambassador Spreadsheet.
Great.
Okay. So that's what I mean by the Ambassador Spreadsheet. I know Kristen and I have started this process. So Kristen, if you don't mind, I'm first going to have you kind of discuss what we've done so far, just to see if he agrees with how we've set it up.
I currently have like the main account number, the client name, if it's a fee-based account relationship, assets, current assets, and then outside assets that we know about. And then after that, I have suspect, prospect, customer, client, advocate, and ambassador. And then under each column, what we're working on doing is adding the dates and what classification the client should be.
Okay, so you have customer, client. Oh, you have those. Did
yes.
I hear that?
Good. Yes.
Beautiful. Okay. Perfect.
Yes, we have all the customers / clients downloaded onto the spreadsheet. I think the only thing that, and I don't know if we need a column for this or not, is financial plan, because I think that was one of the deciding factors between a customer and a client is whether or not they have a financial plan.
Right.
I mean, that's something we're taking into account. We might want to just add that column in there as well, just so we can say that, yes, they have a plan, that make it easier for us to decipher. And then what Kristen and I are trying to do is just take so many a week, you know, that and reviewing where we think they are in the process.
That's right.
On the spreadsheet.
So how's that going?
Well, I'll speak for myself, and then I mean it's an enlightening process, especially when you sit there and think, when you have a client that has been a client for so long, you're like, oh, they're a great client. And then when you start analyzing them between a customer and a client, I think we're going to have more customers than we do actually clients. I think we're going to be surprised by that. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but it's a long, tedious process, but I think in the end it's going to be helpful, because it's going to define our client base and where we want to go from there.
Right. I think enlightening is the best term I've heard for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're shining a light on the business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things we also were having is, you know, I think we may have identified an ambassador or two, but I don't want to necessarily say that yet until we finish the whole process. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, so make sure that we don't go through this and it's, but the main difference between a customer and a client is the customers agree to do business with you, but they really haven't done a plan, or they've just kind of gone through the basics of the onboarding process, where a client you kind of have, I think your words were a little more control over, where they listen to you and they have a plan and they are paying a fee.
That's right. The two things they're paying a fee and they have a financial plan.
And you want them to have both, not just one, right?
No, that's right. And that would be, see, it's a really important differentiation. I think it makes the whole process tougher. And so you look at yourself and say, you know, really look in the mirror and say, you know, are we truly a financial planning, client-centered team? Or are we just, you know, letting the clients run the show?
Okay.
And that, I think that's a really important differentiation between a business that you are controlling the business and telling the client. In reality, you know, when you go to the doctor, you don't, you know, the doctor doesn't say, what's your tolerance for, you know, he asks you whether you can take certain medicines or not, but he doesn't decide that, you know, you need an appendectomy based on your fear of blood. You know, he says you need an appendectomy or you're going to die, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, yes, okay, I'll do it. Now, certain clients, certain patients don't do it, and then they die, and that's okay. But for us, we want to be the ones that are telling the clients what is in their best interest after doing a complete profile of them, just like a doctor does. And when we get sucked into the vortex of not doing the right thing for the client because the client is, you know, I mean, take, for example, a person that will never buy equities because they just are so risk adverse. Well, we know that that's just wrong. Okay? Now, that may be a good customer, but they're certainly not a client. And so we know what we have. Do we have a whole book of clients, or do we have half clients and half customers? People that don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take our advice. So the question is, when you grow up, what kind of a practice do you want? And, you know, for you guys, you know, it seems to me that you want to have a practice that you are proud of, that you control, that it's something that's in the client's best interest and they're going to get their kind of returns that it's like having a hedge fund and clients go, well, I just don't want to short anything. Well, then why did you invest in a hedge fund? You know, you can't, you know. So at some point, you determine, you know, what's the best asset allocation for the client. And the client goes, okay, you're the boss, basically. If you don't do well, I'll fire you, which is fine. That's what they hire us.
Now,
anyway,
on this ambassador spreadsheet, we're the first team that's doing it. Is that correct?
Well, we've got a number. I mean, I'm simultaneously teaching this across the board. So
okay.
You're the first team, but, you know, there are teams that have finished it and seeing the results and interesting, very interesting conversations. This is a very important part of the Monday meeting now. So
yeah,
the teams that are doing this effectively are having a really constructive Monday meeting. And they're, you know, many of them are working primarily on acquisition. And so the activity of Monday meeting is, it's the same as what you and I, we've been talking about, you know, having the meetings with centers of influence and making them constructive and setting up mastermind groups and so forth. But there are teams that are moving, you know, having good success when they look at it and say, you know what, let's move this guy from a customer to a client and do a financial plan and gain control and or fire him. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, you know, if you do have other people, what they, some of these other teams are, you know, getting the benefit. I would think the benefit of the spreadsheet is that it defines your, whether or not only as you mentioned before, and as I had said, the customer client, relationship, but it also would, I think, help define how long it might take you to move, especially when you start looking at, you know, referrals, how long it takes you to take them, get them on board, too.
Right. That's your closure rate.
Right.
And
okay.
From a industrial engineering point of view, what can we do then to improve our closure rate? You know, it took us 9 months to close this person. What could we have done to move that faster?
And so, you could even do that with outside assets of existing clients. You can kind of track that too.
Right. And that's why I like the dates on each of the columns. Because
mm-hmm.
then when in the past have we ever brought any science to bear on what we do?
Mm-hmm.
There's none. It's all art. You know, it's the art. Right? It's all in our heads, and it's all feel. Well, that's a lot to keep in your head. And you also can't analyze it when it's in your head. Nobody else can. You know, the mastermind idea was anytime two people come together, they create a third mind, the mastermind. Well, that's the advantage of teams. So you bring three people together, four people together, and you create a third mind or a fourth mind. And that mind is better than any one of your minds separately. If you don't do this kind of exercise, you never have a chance to leverage your brains as a group. So when you see something, John, you see it through your brain and your eyes. And when Kristen sees something, she sees it through her brain and her eyes and her experience and everything. So that when you talk about this spreadsheet and talk about and get creative on how you're going to accelerate the closure rate, you get the advantage of hearing their perspective, adding that to yours, and then coming up with an idea that neither of you had prior to that. And that's the idea of, Larry Wilson called it stair-stepping. One person comes up with an idea, the next one raises it to the next level, the next one raises it to the next level, and you see things differently than you've seen them in the past. So that's the leverage, using the leverage of teams, but most teams don't spend much time on the creativity side of things, so they miss that whole opportunity to leverage their team. Whereas in other industries, they're spending a huge amount of their time putting their brains together to be creative to solve problems. We don't spend much time on that. So that's why I love this spreadsheet, because it gives us a very clear direction from left to right. How do we move it from this box to this box? And once we've done it a few times, we can get pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And once we, you know, how many meetings does it take us to close a client? Did it take us 4 meetings? 2 meetings? I had one guy I worked with, and with Supernova, he was able, this guy was in the insurance industry primarily, but he sold our products, right? And he used to take 4 or 5 meetings or 6 meetings to close somebody. And by the time he got done with Supernova, he wasn't selling the product anymore. He was selling himself and the service, and he could close somebody in 3 meetings. And that, for him, that saved him 50% of his time. So there's a productivity increase. So from our point of view, you know, net-net, if you were doing $20 million a year in net new money with Supernova and some industrial engineering, we should do it in, we should be able to get $25 million, $30 million, $35 million, $40 million. That's the idea. Because if you got the spigot going already, You know, getting it going is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. Once it's going, then we just want to turn up the volume. As long as we have the capacity, right? If you have the capacity and you can handle it, then we want to turn up the volume and fill up the pipe. And that might mean $40 million a year, which would be wonderful, right?
Right. Yeah, like I said, we, you know, just starting this process, there was many items that I thought, depending on how you looked at it, you could really take from this spreadsheet. So, and learn about your practice from that spreadsheet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is not, I mean, this is interesting, right? I mean, it's like, wait a minute, where have we been? Why didn't we do this before? Well, it's just because we didn't. You know, nobody thought about it, right? It's it's a little tiny steps that you go through to come to discovery are obvious once you're there, but they weren't obvious before you got there.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute, why haven't we been doing this for the last 37 years? Well, it's just because we didn't. You know, we didn't. We did certain things, but we never put it all together like this. So we call those breakthroughs, and they can be very significant. They can change the whole way you think about the business.
Kristen, did you have any comments on the ambassador's spreadsheet?
No.
Anything else you want us to get from, you know, that when we're going through it again this month, you know, like I said, we're taking so many a week.
Right. I'm just trying, if I were you, I'd probably, now that you've discovered that it actually works and has benefits, I'd try and do more. I'd just try and do as many, you know, do more. You know, I don't know, do five a day. You know,
right.
I don't know what you can do, but it seems to me that the benefits outweigh the restriction on time, and so we've got to add some more time to it.
Perfect. Okay. On the other item we had that we wanted to is Center of Influences. So John had 2 Center of Influences since our last call. One was with the estate attorney with a client that her husband passed away. I think you've heard us talk about she has assets at TIAA Cref.
Right, right.
I'm looking at John because I don't know. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, sorry. We'll get it over here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know how much more you wanted to speak.
We've been unusually patient, but the money's coming.
Good. Yeah.
And then he also had another meeting with another estate attorney with our largest client this month as well. Do you have any comments that you want to make about that one?
No comments.
Okay. I had a meeting with the estate attorney that we talked about last week, and this was the time for me to introduce the enthusiastically endorsed model. Mm-hmm. And we did go through that. And his comment was, well, I could see how that would be easier for a relationship like yours with the client, or meaning an advisor and a CPA, because you have more consistent contact than necessarily an estate attorney does. He said that he'd be willing to continue to, you know, discuss it and see how it works. So I was hoping, or my plan is, when I meet with him next month, is to have an actual introduction for him.
Good.
And then if he comes the next time after that without an introduction, then I think at that point we're going to have to make a decision, you know, if it's working or not.
Did he understand that all he has to do is ask that question?
Yes, but his comment was there are some clients that I only see once every 5 to 7 years, was his comment. I said, well,
so
whenever you're – I'm sorry.
Right. You're meeting with somebody hopefully every day, right?
Right.
So whoever you're meeting with, you can ask the question with. We don't care how often you meet with people. All we care is that you ask the question. You can ask it of your golfing buddy. You don't have to ask it of just your clients, right? I mean, that's the part that I didn't quite understand myself, you know. I thought, we can only ask this of our clients, but we can ask this of anybody we meet anywhere.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if you – no, by the way, you know, I was talking to somebody, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? Just out of curiosity.
Right.
I mean, they don't even have to tell you who it is. Just an interesting question. If they choose to, well, you know, great. If they don't, then you just have had an interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Does that sound like a good plan to bring him one with the goal of bringing him an introduction next month?
Yeah, sometimes just you know whether the person has no energy.
Right.
Okay, if he has no energy, you use him because of his expertise.
Okay.
And you move on.
He has been very helpful with other, you know, where we could call and get information or get his advice on items. So that might be,
Rob, he gets it. I think Mark understands the deal. Just from other conversations he and I've had through the years, he understands.
Okay. Yeah, it's just sometimes, and John, you know, I mean, you can tell whether or not it's real or not,
he understands it. I'm not so sure about his other buddy in the firm, but that's another story.
Yeah, it's not the easiest group. That's not the low-hanging fruit. You think, well, that's got to be the low-hanging fruit. Estate planning, those are people that are highly qualified. If I talk to teams, I've got one team that gets regular referrals from estate planning attorney, but 90% don't. 90%. It's just a tougher group. If you crack it, it's a gold mine. If you don't, then you just go to CPAs and attorneys. And, you know, all these are – what I've determined is that it takes years to develop these. Once you get it, you get it, and that can mean a life-changing experience for you in terms of business. So it's worth the effort and the persistence, but it's really friend making. You know, it's really the closer you are to a true friendship with these people, the more it becomes just something that happened rather than you working hard at it. It's something that happens all the time because you're meeting with that person a lot because you're friends. So, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? The consistent meetings, the consistent lunches, the breakfast where you become friends, or, you know, is it the friendship that then makes it easier to have the meetings and then you get the introductions? I don't know. I think you got to kind of feel it. That's the personality part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Referrals. We had 3 meetings since our last call with referrals. And, well, I guess one of them technically is tomorrow. I'm waiting to hear. They say that they still have, mine was a referral from, it's their mom, so it would be a butler. And the last I heard is they're still, they will let me know that they just got back from vacation. So I don't know, you know, I told them just to keep me apprised of where they would like, to, what their next step is. I think John's was originally a first meeting with his referral. It was a lunch. And then he's got a lunch tomorrow. So you have.
Yeah. I know Rob doesn't like it when I go to lunch, plus go to coffee.
No. Lunches are great. You know, but they're great. That's you know, it's just a time management situation, whether or not you can, you know, and if it's a friend and you want to see him every month and you have a nice lunch together, God bless. You can play golf. That's 4 hours, 5 hours, you know.
Yeah.
So
this,
it's just.
This one, the first one was just getting the guy out, and lunch worked for him. So
yep.
It was nice lunch. I'll follow up on that. His mother-in-law's a client. And then the one tomorrow, it's a client that brought someone to one of our seminars, and we've been trying to get this person back in town, so she's back in town. So I'm having the client plus the prospect, so I'm taking them to lunch.
Great. That's usually even better, right?
Yes, that makes for an easier introduction.
Right. Now, John, will you go through the whole thing together, or will the client excuse themselves at some point?
No, the client will be there. This is an introductory lunch, and I need to get a sense whether I think this person would fit in our practice anyway. So
right. So you're interviewing them as well as
yes. Yes. And then just coincidentally, the client that's in on the lunch yesterday is coming in for her quarterly review the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a good time to follow up and get some feedback on how her friend perceived me.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a quick turnaround.
Great. So, John, how overall do you think it's going? Is it slow? Is it good? Is it the right pace? What do you feel here?
Is what going?
The prospecting, the meetings with centers of influence, the whole process. Is it frustrating? Is it smooth? Is it good timing? Is it bad? Is it? How do you feel?
I feel good about it. I don't think it's overwhelming. There are days that the schedule, you know, gets a little hectic, but that's, I think there's something else we're going to talk about a little later in the call. But I think it's going pretty well. I guess I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy says I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I always thought that would be their biggest challenge, is to get me to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
John
Vargas. That's funny.
Hey,
he just had to step out. He a call.
Yep. No, no problem.
That's the other part of the so that you maybe when he comes back you can go return to that conversation. But the other item we had listed here were success stories. So in the past month, we had one situation where we have a client that has been mentioning to John that they're going to be looking at houses, and you know, so John mentioned, you know, going through the, whether or not we should go through the mortgage process or do a credit line. So we scheduled a call with our lending / mortgage specialist, and then I was on the line as well. And we went through, it was probably an hour call. He went through all the different options, and then, you know, he kept mentioning, I plan on paying down, you know, to get it to this mortgage with assets outside of UBS. So the specialist actually helped, you know, mention, well, you discuss these assets. There are also price breaks on the mortgage that we can provide you in regards to the rate. If you have X amount of dollars that you're able, like it's like over $500,000 that you can transfer into UBS, and that would also simultaneously get you over the $5 million mark of assets at UBS, which would give you like another 8. So it was like we could, you know, save them a fourth of a percentage point, which he, of course, said he would talk to his wife about. They ended up calling back. That was on like a Thursday, Friday. They ended up calling back on a Monday saying that they wanted to do it. And they were, you know, which process they chose, and they are actually going to bring over their assets, which I believe is over $1 million. But we have to time it at the same time they do the mortgage at the end of the month. But he also was so enthusiastic or, you know, about the whole process and how it went that he mentioned it to his brother, who's also a client of ours. He already has a mortgage with us, but we did have the conversation with him about where it needs to be to make it worthwhile to him and what assets he has outside of here and how that could help him. So we'll see where that ends up going. That one might take a little longer than the other one, but at least it was interesting to see how quickly it worked its way through the family.
It is interesting. Isn't that fascinating?
I mean, it was
for a quarter point, he's telling his brother about it.
Yep.
It's a very close family, though. There's two brothers, and they talk a lot. Plus, he's doing a real estate deal with mm-hmm. And his brother's the agent.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, and something else, Rob. His brother, the one that didn't do it, that was looking at refinancing, is having a dinner Thursday night for what he calls his advisory group, people that have been instrumental in growing his real estate practice.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are invited to that.
Wow. So this is an enthusiastically endorsed group of professional advisors. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his own EE group. And so you want to meet those people and then follow up with all of them.
Yeah. And I'll be curious to see, you know, who's in the group. And but since he started decided to go into this business, you know, he and I get together regularly. I've given him the Supernova book. He's done a lot of interesting marketing things.
He might be a good guy for a mastermind group.
Yeah.
He's an agent, right, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. You might star him. A person that already understands the benefits of a mastermind group, he doesn't call it that, but that's what it is, will be more readily willing to engage and can also teach you how to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
So you might think about that, or you might join his group.
back to his brother. Did you tell him who one of the accounts was coming from?
No, I did not.
One of the accounts is being moved from his wife's brother.
Whoa!
And he already told me that, quote, Katie's already called Kevin and talked to him about it. And so, you know, we've been on the other side of that. I would suspect that Robert Baird could do mortgages, but we were just there first.
Well, and you know, some guys just choose not to.
Well, I'm you're talking to one of them, and so I'm, and then the whole total picture thing that we did, I think I kind of got this thing going. So I don't know, but it sort of opened my eyes into that maybe we need to take a look at some of the things that we haven't been looking at.
Yeah, that the concept of, you know, he who controls the plan controls the client.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful. I mean, it's real. I've seen money just flow away to financial planners that just never should have left, you know. And it convinced me back in 2000 to get in, you know, get on board the game of financial planning in a big way. So, and the same with, you know, yes, the products sometimes make you crazy, like mortgages, but on the other hand, the pain you go through does keep control of the assets, and sometimes it's kind of a loss leader in terms of your time, but you get the assets and you keep them. So
and
I understand,
the other,
you know,
the other accounts that are moving will disrupt a relationship that his father had with an advisor here in town. Which,
that's good.
His father passed away 6 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger fish out there is his mom's money. I've got the two brothers, but I don't have the mom. I'm not sure I want the mom, but I'd like the money once mom's gone.
Who controls the mom?
I don't really know. I've got a pretty good idea. Just because I go to their Christmas party every year and I see who's around there.
Well, it might be one of the sons too at this point.
No, it's not the sons. It's you know, it's a trust department somewhere. I just looking around at who's at the party. I get a sense of it because she has a party and it's a lot of the people that she works with.
Yeah. So you think it's some substantial money?
Yo, more than what the kids, between the two boys, Tracy, what do they have, $8-9 million here?
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, more coming. She's got a lot more money.
Can you have that conversation with one of the sons?
Once we get everything, well, yeah, especially with the one that, I think one of the sons is closer to his mom than the other, and the one that's the real estate, yes, I will have a conversation.
Yeah, I would just put that on your mental agenda because
yeah.
you want to have that well in advance of her not, you know, you don't want her to die and then start the conversation.
I'm not sure she likes me that much. She likes my wife a lot. But she always, and then she decided not to have the couple's Christmas party anymore, just to have the women there. I thought that was a great idea. She's a little different. She's a different animal.
Yeah, but that's okay. You know, you want to line this thing up as best you can. I mean, things,
yeah.
You know, these things, in a town like yours, it can take generations, you know, to move money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that patience and persistence and stability and
taking good care of her sons too.
The most important thing in her life, her sons, her grandsons, you know, grandchildren.
Yep.
Those are, when people are raving about you, that's a lot different than, you know, a trust department that doesn't have any emotional attachment, right?
Right.
Marketing and hustle and, you know, great service go a long way. Long way.
You want to tell them about the Kerry Sharpe's comment that nobody gives good service anymore?
Yeah.
Here's a good one. Go ahead, Tracy.
We had the situation that the TIA crafts clients, the daughter who is we work with all the time, we were talking about that situation and about requesting paperwork, and she basically said, just no one gives any good service anymore. She was, it's just, you just, it's non-existent.
I said, I think we do. Yes, you do. And she's a radiologist. She goes, I think we do too. But whatever. But yeah, she's been through the ringer with this thing.
You might, that's an opportunity to tell her about your enthusiastically endorsed list.
Well, she's got it. I mean, because we were talking about the attorney.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I don't know that she would enthusiastically endorse the
attorney. No, I don't think so either. But anyway.
Mm-mm. She would definitely enthusiastically endorse the CPA.
Yeah. Would she endorse us?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean that's to be determined, but with when we get the funds.
Their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when somebody says that, that's an opening, right? Nobody gives good service, and we say in this environment, we're acutely aware of that. And so we've built this enthusiastically endorsed group of professionals that have all committed to a high level of service for our concierge group. So you join our group, everybody commits. I think that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the group has to know they're in the group and that they've committed. So nobody can screw up. So they'll do a loss leader in order to keep things good. That's the key to me. When they see the value of the group is greater than, you know, somebody. And then you just know jerks allowed into the group, either as a client or as a professional. So there's nobody in there as a taker, nobody in there stealing time and money from the group. And so, for example, the mother would not, based on what you said, she's just not, you know, not a giver, not easy. You wouldn't put her in this group. You wouldn't make her give her access to the group. The sons, you would, because they're good guys. So that's ultimately the way I see it, as a group that you can introduce somebody very carefully to. Like you said, you want to go interview this client to make sure he fits with you guys. Well, that same thing with your professionals. You don't want any professional in the group that isn't committed to giving great service to each and every person that's introduced to him by the group. So it's sort of a game changer in terms of service in the community. Anyway, it's sort of my ideal. You know, it's a little idealism on my part, but that's why you need to meet with the group periodically to make them remember what they're doing and why they're doing it. And, you know, the commitment to each other. Go ahead. What else?
The last item that we had on here is we wanted to update you. John and I have had some meetings together along with our branch manager, kind of discussing what we see as some of our vulnerabilities within our team.
Mm-hmm.
And where we feel like we need to focus first. And John and I have decided that it looks like we need to really kind of focus more on the sales side, trying to find, for a lack of a better word, a junior advisor, junior partner.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that meeting. I think it went very well with the manager. That was more just to let him know what we're thinking. I don't know that we expect to get necessarily any candidates from him, but just to make him aware.
Rob, you know, when she's talking to the branch manager, it's different these days.
Yep.
Okay. So it was just sort of to open it up, let him know what was going on, and just as a courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I say whether I'm telling you the branch managers are different.
Well, they just don't seem to have the power or, you know, the influence they used to have. So
he's a compliance guy. He's never been on our side of the business.
Yeah. And so maybe it's just a different business, right? I mean, it's a different business model.
Yeah, exactly.
I think where he will be able to help us is when we do find some candidate, he can help us figure out the way to structure it within the team and within UBS the best. I think that's where he'll be able to provide most of his assistance and guidance.
Yeah.
But the chances of him finding somebody for us are somewhere between slim and none.
It is a wonderful recruiting opportunity, John.
I understand that, but they don't recruit anymore.
Mm.
I mean, when you ask him, do you know such and such, such and such at Morgan Stanley? No, never met him.
They're just not out in the community.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, you know, that's okay. It's just a different, you know, that door is closed for that, but not for organization and structure and operations and that sort of thing. Then they usually go overboard on those things. And that can be helpful, too.
Yeah, it's going to be something that Tracy and I do. I just want to say
yeah.
that, you know, when you were the branch manager, regional manager, I mean, you knew everybody in Indianapolis. You knew what was going on. You had people calling you. You interviewed people. It's not the same anymore.
Right. I mean, I knew everybody, not in every market, but I knew a lot of people in all the markets.
Sure. You know? Yes.
And because we were always recruiting and meeting, because I'd be in your market and meeting with FAs.
Yes.
And,
right.
You know, a lot with my manager and, you know, bring in the regional, bring in the district director. And, you know, I used to have an office meeting. I'd meet with the sales assistants and I'd have two or three recruiting meetings and then a dinner with the manager and, you know, somebody else. So, or a recruiting dinner. So it was always part of my challenge to them. I don't want to come into your meeting, into your market and not have, you know, a breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a recruit, you know.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that's what we did. And you know, it wasn't just to have a, you know, wasn't just to check a box. It was, they were expected to actually have really good recruits for me.
Sure.
And that worked.
Yeah, compensation was bad too.
Right.
You know, recruit.
And so, you know, everybody, I mean, you had to grow your market, and that's, you know, it's like net new money, you know, grow your market. What an easier way than to recruit somebody. You don't give away the store, but you get good guy. The key was good guy. The compensation was not as important as getting the right person. You got the right person, it worked out great. If you got the wrong person, you know, they were there 3 years and then they left. But anyway,
so,
another subject.
Yeah, the reason we brought this
yeah.
up, yeah, we're going to let you know as we go through this process, and since you have done this, you can give us some guidance.
Sure. Gap analysis. That's what you just did. You did a gap analysis to see what was missing on the team, and then you need to fill that in, and it's easier to get a recruit from the competition or from a good guy from your office is great, but oftentimes they're just, you know the people here, and there's not a good fit. So then you got to go outside.
I'm looking at Tracy's mouth because it's somebody that she will probably work with longer than I am. And
mm-hmm.
from looking at her the facial expression, I guess anybody in the office is not happening. Okay, next one. administration person?
Well, I mean,
okay.
We're looking, yeah. I mean, we do need to fill both sides, but we're, you know, our goal is to start with, we feel like the sales, you know, need the assistance there. First, we will need to look for an admin. Obviously, we let, if we do find the right person, then we're not going to hold off. But our ultimate goal is to try to find somebody on the sales or the revenue side, and then work on the service side.
You guys have a great opportunity there. You're good people. This is a real opportunity.
So you want to get back in the business, Rob? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Part of the team?
You know, it's so funny. It's just, you know, Rob Schaefer and I both said, I probably 5 years ago, I said to him, I said, Rob, how good would you be? I said, do you think you'd be a better manager now than you were when you were, before you did, you know, this 5 years of Supernova, now 12 years of coaching? He said, oh, my God, Rob, I'd be so much better. You know, it's just this process teaches you so much as a coach. It's unbelievable. And, you know, to get yet, you know, just think about that as a concept, right? If I could get, and I have coached. I have coached, you know, I probably coached 20 managers at UBS on Supernova. And some of them have been super and great managers. But just the leverage of knowing what you know, how big a help you'd be to people like you. And then in recruiting, you know, you could just, what do you get? I mean, just think about it, right? What are you getting where you are? Come here. We can coach you and put you through this whole Supernova process. You'll have an onboard coach the whole time and then a regular coaching process forever. You know, wouldn't, how does that compare to what you're getting now? It'd be like, none. Never see my manager. Don't get anything. Come here. So, you know, it's, you do have a lot to offer. So I would be around town seeing what's out there and see if you can meet some people that would be a good fit. Because I think you have a very good situation.
I agree with you. We'll find somebody.
The the situation with Brown-Forman went through, and they bought the 86 company, which was something that's my son-in-law's company. And the product is, the primary product is Ford's gin, F-O-R-D-S gin. So you saw that in the news for Brown-Forman this week. It happened Monday. So I'm in Nashville right now. They're going to still stay in Nashville. My son-in-law and my daughter are here in Nashville. And we're moving to Nashville from Indianapolis. So. But it, you know, it means that Louisville will be in the crosshairs of my son and my son-in-law, and you know, it just means that I'm going to be a privy to sort of an interesting view of Brown-Forman as they get more and more integrated. So, you know, I'm happy to do anything I can for you guys as this situation develops.
Okay.
So just, you know, do a little homework on that, look it up and see what you see. And I, you know, we talked about Brown-Forman. I don't know what to, I think you did not have an in there, but it may be a way of getting, you know, I don't know if I can help or not, but I'll be happy to.
Well, thank you. They had a major management turnover about 15 months ago.
Okay.
And they've got, you know, new chairman, new board, et cetera, down there. But, yeah, Yeah, of course, they've got a presence in Tennessee already with Jack Daniels.
Right. Okay. That's why they're here in Nashville then.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big deal.
I didn't know that.
They're around, and it is a good company. And of the companies in Louisville, there are not that many. They operate on a national scale with pay level, the way they handle everything. It's a very well run company. Still got family involvement there, but it's a well run company.
That's good to hear. He'll be, it's only a $22 million investment on their part, but it's a nice addition. I don't think they've been in the gin business, and so these guys are pretty, my son-in-law is from London, and everybody, it's an international group of principals and all that, so it's quite an interesting a little bit away from what they typically do. So we're very excited, and I think it's interesting anyway. So I may be up in your neck of the woods. If I am out, I will call and see if we can get together.
Yeah, that sounds great. But they're real serious over there. They work hard and they're very serious. So it's a nice for him to be associated with.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's good for them. It's great. Great. Okay. What else on your part?
That's a lot. That's everything on our agenda. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we did. That was good. You guys are doing your homework. For some reason, I still didn't get that email. I'm going to send you an email. You send one back. Let me see if I'm in business here or not. That's weird. It's just weird. Okay, so I'll send you guys an email and then let's just see what's going on here while I'm getting messed up. All right, well, good. Congratulations. I would say keep going without making yourselves crazy. Try and increase the pace of everything. As centers of influence, move them down the pike. Again, it's the quality, not the quantity. You want good people, and if they're, and be persistent, never give up, keep going, because they're the answer to a community like yours. You know that. And then the gap in that, your ambassador spreadsheet is a great tool, and I look forward to your success in that. I think that the more you can do on that, Kristen, the better you'll be. I think you'll see more and more opportunity there. So, good.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get
back to work.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, yeah. Bye-bye. See you guys.